I'm Carol Cohn, and welcome to Purpose 360, the podcast that unlocks the power of purpose to ignite business and social impact. Today, we have a fascinating discussion with the social entrepreneur, Ben Heinkel, who co-founded The Ethical Clothing Company. It's a search engine that helps us find clothing that's ethically made, clothing that has values in it in terms of where it's sourced, how it's made, the people who make it. And it's also a great search engine for little tiny brands all across Europe and soon to be in the US. The company was founded by Ben and his partner, Jack Hesketh, because they wanted to have something that truly supported their personal values. And they looked at the clothing industry and the amount of turn of fast fashion in the clothing industry. They knew the fact that the over 90 million tons of textile waste is now generated each year. They knew that clothing that is synthetic or treated with chemicals can take up to 200 years to biodegrade. That's something that is similar and as toxic as discarded tires or plastic in landfills. So I love the passion. I love the vision. Let's hope that they are going to be wildly successful, because I think that we could use a little less of throwaway fast fashion and a lot more of clothing that is well-made, that is made with humanity, fair labor, no chemicals, minimum amounts of water, a minimum amount of transportation to get to us that makes us look good and feel good. So let's get into it. Welcome to the show, Ben.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
So Ben, I just want to start out with, what is ethical clothing? I mean, you know, we all put on clothes every day. We're always thinking about, am I going to buy something? Am I going to recycle something or whatever? During the pandemic, obviously, we wore lots of different clothing. But this is quite a new concept. Just share with our listeners, like, what is ethical clothing?
I think a lot of attention gets paid to things like organic food and you know, the effect that we have on the planet with the kind of things that we buy. But not a lot of people talk about what goes into making your clothes, who makes your clothes, what kind of material is used, the chemicals that end up going into the ground because of the materials that you use. Basically, this ethical clothing was born from a need that both Jack and I had of trying to find ethical and sustainable brands. And we found that there was a lot of small brands all over Europe, all over the world, all over the US that were doing great things, but they just didn't have the resources to put their word, to put their name out there and to get clients and, you know, to just make themselves known, basically. So both of us had just come off a different startup that I had before, a company that still runs, and I was looking for a different project. And I thought this is probably just the best thing to sink my teeth into.
So you had this idea with Jack. Talk about those really, really early days. Like, you're sitting around, you're talking about it. How difficult was it to begin to put this together? So just talk about the really early days.
So both of us live in Barcelona, Spain. We do spend a lot of time hiking in the mountains close to the city. We like nature, so we're out there a lot. And we were both kind of discussing the kind of project that we would want to get involved in the future as soon as we were sort of done with the projects that we were working on at that time. One of the things that both of us had very, very clear was the fact that we wanted to make sure that we were spending our time and spending our energy and time on projects that had values that were in sync with who we were as people. And the idea of just, you know, having a project that makes money, have it grow and not really worry about the kind of values that the project has or that, you know, how in sync that is with you as a person was something that we wanted to avoid. Based on that, starting with that, we thought, you know, what are the things that are important for us? What are the topics that touch us? You know, the nature was obviously one of them. The planet itself. What can we do There was is constantly a lot of talk on climate change and kind of the options and the choices you make as a consumer, how that could fit in with all of that. Sort of at the same time we were talking about how difficult it was to find sustainable fashion brands, and kind of the idea came out of that. I come from a technical sort of background, so we were throwing out ideas out there and how we can make this easier for both the brands and for consumers. And this kind of organically grew out of that.
And the reason I ask is that founder stories are always fascinating to me. You know, and why did you go, turn left or turn right? And actually, we're going to have some of the leadership from Ben and Jerry's on the show soon. And I was just listening to some of their podcasts. And basically, they got into ice cream because they couldn't afford to get into bagels because they couldn't afford the equipment. So it's always an interesting, what is intentional and what is both serendipity. So you had this idea. And how did it, what was it like in the first year? How did you not just build the backbone, but how did you get brands? How did you find them? How did you get them to join you? Because, there must have been some skepticism, who's Ben? Who's Jack?
No, absolutely. And this is something that we figured out pretty quickly in the beginning. And our initial idea was, let's get in touch with a lot of these brands, tell them what we do, give them a little bit of our background, so that they know we're not just two random people sitting in a shed somewhere,
right? Exactly.
But people with a little bit of experience, and that can deliver. So we spent 2 or 3 months a lot on the phone talking to brands and trying to understand if they saw value in what we were trying to put together. It was difficult. It was really difficult. A lot more so than I thought. So I thought, dumping a quick CV on the phone would have them say, okay, this person seems to know what he's talking about, but it didn't. They just basically said, right, we're really busy with what we do. At the moment, your site doesn't have any traffic. I really don't have the time to spend with you.
So there you go. There's a reality. Okay.
Right. So, that reality check kind of hit pretty early on, and we were trying to look at, what can we do to move ahead with this project and to get that traffic before we can go back to these brands and say, hey, now I'm back here. I have a lot of traffic. Can we talk now? So that's basically the approach that we're taking now. We have some brands that we have an agreement with, and other brands where we just drive them traffic for free at this point.
Ah, okay.
The idea from there is just to build up the project to a certain point where we can get in touch with these brands and say, hey, take a look at your analytics. We've driven X amount of traffic in the last couple of months. Can we have a chat? And we're hoping that will be different in the future.
So your revenue model ultimately is that you're going to get a small portion of sales that are generated from the search engine.
Exactly. It's a typical sort of affiliate networking model.
Was there a tipping point when all of a sudden you started getting more and more brands to say, oh yeah, great, you've got the traffic, and there's the chicken and the egg. You need enough brands to be on the search engine, and you need to have the eyeballs. And
exactly.
How'd you build people, viewers, and then what was the tipping point?
I think it's a typical sort of marketplace problem. Now you both need to get supply and demand on your platform at the same time, and doing that it's difficult, definitely. So I think we haven't reached that tipping point yet. I think we're still fairly early in our journey, but we've also realized that at this point it doesn't matter so much for us to get to get those agreements with the brands in place. What we're working on for the next 6 to 8 months is, let's just work as hard as possible to get that traffic going, to get that traffic to those brands, and after which we will try again to get in touch with them and see how we're received now. But for the moment, it's just heads down, working to get traffic and working to direct the right kinds of consumers to these brands.
And so what are the guidelines to become an ethical clothing brand? Is it 100% of the line has to be totally ethical and environmentally appropriate? How did you come up with that criteria, and what are the criteria?
One of the things that we decided fairly early on was we don't want to be the gatekeepers of what is considered to be ethical and sustainable. what we do want to do is we want to make sure that the brands that are on the platform are ethical and sustainable. They do have maybe a certificate from GOTS or from somebody else that's known. But I think our criteria at this point stops there. What we want to do is we want to get all these brands together and then provide the tools to users for them to filter out how strict they want to be with their criteria. So one of the things that we're working on this year is kind of a product rating where each product gets a rating depending on the material that's used, on the brand that's made it, how transparent the brand is, and then sort of provide these tools to the consumer so they can do the searching themselves.
For our listeners, you know, the search engine's more than a search engine. You know, and I'd love you to talk about, because you've got blogs, you've got stories on it, you've got the footprint calculator, which I went through it and I think, oh, it really showed me, you know, I gotta like up my game a lot. So it's a very educational place, not just I want to go buy something. So can you just, you know, paint that picture?
It has two reasons. So one of them is that we want to provide as many tools and as much information as we can to help people make their decision, to help them understand the effect that non-sustainable clothing has on the planet, and to understand to allow them to understand what really is sustainable. And things like the fashion calculator are kind of made to push people in that direction and show them, you know, how many clothes are you buying on a regular basis? How are you washing these clothes? What material are they made of? How often do you get rid of them and get something new? So I think that's one side of it, trying to inform consumers about what they've been doing in the past and what they could do better. And the other is obviously to allow us to get a bigger footprint. If we just had the search engine, it would be more difficult for us to get noticed on social media, to start driving that traffic that we need. So in that way, we're trying to build out the offering in a bigger way to provide tools and get the exposure that we're looking for.
And I suggest to our listeners, you know, go through that calculator. It's going to be very, very, very educational. Let's talk about brands that you admire who are doing ethical sourcing and clothing and production well. And also, just to our listeners, it's my understanding that the search engine is just focused on European fashion companies, but ultimately that you want to go global. So who's on the site and who do you admire? Let's just start there.
Who's on the site? So we've got loads of little brands from all over the place. I'm actually not going to give you a favorite brand of mine, just because I don't want to pick favorites on our own platform. I don't want to push that in. Don't want to promote any one brand over any of the others.
Okay, you don't want to say that my child, okay, this child I like better than the other child. Okay, I get that.
Exactly that. So we do have brands that do more in terms of being transparent, in terms of certificates, where they get their clothes made, how if they're fair trade certified and all that. But then you've got some of the smaller brands that just don't have the money for the certificates, but they do just as well or even better than the bigger brands. So it's there's little nuances all over the place, which we hope to be able to address a little bit more with our product ratings.
So what are the characteristics? Whether they're reporting or not, because they're too small to report. But what are the characteristics that you're really saying are important to an ethical clothing brand?
The material is obviously extremely important. What kind of material do they use? They use an organic cotton or a linen, maybe. And where does it come from? How is it made? So kind of the transparency behind the. Behind the whole supply chain, where does it come from? Obviously, where the product is made. Is it made here in Europe, close to home, close to where the brand is? What kind of laws are there for the workers? Are they getting paid fair wages? How can we make sure that's actually happening? So there's a lot of little points to look at. There's also things like, you know, the dyes being used. What kind of chemicals are they? Are those chemicals certified? Are they biodegradable? I could probably go on all day with the different nuances.
It sounds like this would be a great place for me to find these little brands that, again, don't have a lot of visibility, but they may just be not only very well made with sustainability in mind, but also great fashion.
Absolutely. And that's what we try to do. And it's one of the main reasons that we started this, is because we saw a lot of little brands, you know, 5, 10, 15 people maybe sitting together working on great fashion stuff that is really amazing. And they just don't have the resources to get out there and to beat, you know, some of the bigger brands at advertising or at SEO or whatever. And they really struggle. So the idea for us is really to give those people the exposure that, or those brands, the exposure that they need to make sure that they're around next year, in 10 years, and in 20 years.
That sounds like a wonderful circular economy and very positive ecosystem. So what are some of the things that you're doing to create awareness besides the traditional things? Are there any kind of innovative ways that you're giving exposure to these smaller yet innovative clothing companies?
At this point, no. I would say we have a lot of ideas for the future of different things that we could do, including larger research pieces, big analysis, these kind of things. At this point, however, we need to make sure that we are sustainable as a business, and that requires us to get the traffic and to be able to divert it to the brands that are sustainable and that need the traffic to survive. So right now we have a small team and we're working really hard to just get the traffic and stay alive ourselves, start growing. And I think a lot of our crazy ideas we'll be able to implement those in the future.
Oh, I look forward to those. I understand that you will be expanding to the US and Canada. Can you give us a sense of the timing of that so that we can help create awareness so that more traffic will be driven to your website?
Sure, absolutely. I'd love that. since both of us are based in Europe, this was an obvious starting point for us, just to make sure that we've got most, if not all, of the sustainable brands in Europe on the platform first, to try it out, get the MVP out there, make sure that it works, make sure that it gets received the way we expect it to be received, and then move to other countries. So we've been working on the US and Canada brands for the last couple of months, and we are, I would say, 2 weeks away from launching that. Yeah, being able to make ethical clothing available in the US and Canada was a big point for us and a big goalpost that we should be able to reach in the next couple of weeks.
And can you give just a general sense of how many different brands you will have on the search engine at that point?
To give you a rough number, I would say 300 in total. And I would say 50% of that would be US and Canada.
I can't wait. I am so excited. I can't wait. We're really going to, and this will launch around about that time. So we're going to help create awareness.
Excellent.
I'd love to do that. So what are the challenges that you're having right now launching during the pandemic that we're all still in? Because have you gotten your team together at all? Or are you all remote? And is that a benefit? Or, you know, you don't get to see what each person's wearing, so I don't know how much you're like, well, we gotta wear the right clothes. But I knew when I was at Edelman, everybody, you know, they took a little, you know, we were supposed to be cash, but everybody wanted to see who was wearing the hippest clothes.
Absolutely. I guess with video you can do that a little bit, although not very much. I might not be wearing anything underneath this, but you wouldn't know.
Okay, we won't send it to our listeners.
I don't think it's really been an issue at all for us, because from the beginning we wanted to make sure it was a company that we could run remotely. Jack and I, we travel a lot, and some of our employees do as well, and we wanted to make sure that things were as flexible as possible. We always get together when we can in Barcelona at a co-working space to, you know, sit around and bounce ideas off each other. But yeah, it was one of the main sort of requirements for us when we started the company, was to make sure that it was as remote as possible and flexible on that level.
actually that's the way, the new social entrepreneur, the new way to do business. So how many people do you have in the company now?
So we're still small. Jack and me are the only sort of full-time people, and we've got three other kind of contractors that help us with various tasks and things.
And what's your aspiration in a couple of years? What are you thinking? You know, your size, your global reach.
I would really like for Ethical Clothing to be the one-stop shop for ethical clothing. So when someone thinks of, I need a new sweater, I want it to be stylish, I need it to be under $100, and I want it to be as sustainable as possible, the first thing that they think of is our site. And that's where they go. And that's on a global level. And I think that's achievable.
And curious about how you named the company, because it's very clear about what it is. But I bet it was a challenge. Like, you know, is it going to be a sexy name, or is it going to be, you know, something that's alliterative, or is it going to be what it is?
It wasn't that much of a challenge, actually, to be honest. The name basically came from an SEO advantage, really.
Okay.
Yeah, as a domain name, if you have what it is that you're doing spelled out clearly in your domain name, you get several, or Google gives you several extra points.
Aha. Uh-huh. Okay.
So we all the help that we could get in the beginning to make sure that we were ranking and pulling in the traffic was welcome. So I'm sure at some point in the near future we will actually come up with a real brand name, but for now this is serving us well.
Actually, I like the name. There are times where I just think, don't make people work too hard.
This is true as well.
You know, no, I just think, I think it's very direct and it's great. So how are you fighting? I mean, look, years ago, we represented Esprit. And this was very, you know, this was early on. This was like in the early 90s. And the Tompkins really wanted to be ethical and in the way they were manufacturing. But they also had so many, you know, seasons. And I, you know, at that time I said, how can you be ethical and deal with being socially responsible? And you've got a new line coming in every 6 weeks. And you know, you've got that really tough beast to feed, which is, oh, I want fast fashion, I want new, you know, the H&M being the, you know, absolutely, H&M actually is trying to do some interesting things these days. So how do you balance that out, and what role do you want to play in terms of attacking that kind of not great spiral of too much stuff, too new, and then it ends up in landfills?
That's a difficult question. And it's one of the things we've actually written about on the blog a little bit, the fast fashion machine and mm-hmm. you know, what it is, how we can stop it, if we should stop it, what are the alternatives. I'm trying as much as possible not to get into debates on how we can fix the problem on the whole at this point, considering I come from more of a business background, and I don't want to pass myself off as a sustainable fashion, you know, guru. But I definitely think, well, sustainable fashion doesn't just mean making things sustainably. One of the things that we talk about a lot in the office is actually the most sustainable fashion is the clothes that you already have. Mm-hmm. Right, the stuff that is already in your wardrobe is, and keeping that, making sure that lasts you, is probably the most sustainable way of doing things.
Because I think that when I went through the calculator, and one of the things that you ask is, how many pieces of clothing do you have in your closet? And I never thought I had a lot, but then when you start counting the I didn't count them individually, but I guesstimated. But you know, you look at the t-shirts. Which is, you know, my fast fashion for kind of, well, not fast, but it's my fashion for the pandemic, right? And leggings and things like that. And all of a sudden you go, wow, I do have, you know, a couple hundred pieces. And yep. I'm just curious about this whole thing about the 80-20 rule, which I don't know, is this truth or a myth? That, you know, a lot of, you know, you're reading in them fashion magazines, well, you know, you only really wear 20% of your entire wardrobe. And so that other 80% you probably should do something with. Is that a real rule, by the way, the 80-20 rule?
It's, I think that's the Pareto principle. And I see people using that all over the place. I don't know if it really, if you can really apply that to your own wardrobe.
I don't know. I think it does to me.
Not on my wardrobe, for sure.
Okay, not in a wardrobe for sure. So, but at some point you are making a statement about fast fashion in terms of ethical clothing. So you say you don't really want to get into the debate, but you know, what is the message that you want to give to your consumers that are going to come to your site about, you know, is it fast fashion or is it support, you know, these more sustainable clothiers? So what's your message?
Our message is think about what you're buying, what you're putting in your wardrobe, what you're putting on your body, how it's made, who it's made by, and how sustainable this is for the planet. Obviously, fast fashion is not sustainable, not purely because of how it's made and who it's made by, which is absolutely terrible in most cases. But also just the general consumerist act of constantly buying and throwing things away every couple of weeks is not sustainable, not for us, not for the planet. So the message is basically, yeah, consider the clothing that you buy when you're thinking of organic, sustainable, kilometer zero and this kind of thing, and not just food and other things that have gotten a lot of media coverage over the years. It's just as important to think about your clothes and their origins.
Now you're two guys. So you would think that, you know, I'm glad that it's being done by two guys because men love fashion just as women love fashion. And it doesn't have to be high fashion. It can be really usable fashion. But do you have plans to bring some women in so you can have the women's point of view as well?
Absolutely. As soon as we've got the resources and to build out the team, for that to get sort of a woman's perspective, but also just to have a team with both men and women in it is always nicer, it's better, it's more comfortable, it brings in different ideas.
You talked about being a serial entrepreneur. So is this your first venture that has purpose and sustainability at the core, or have you had others in the past as well and you just love creating these companies?
Well, no, I've actually intended to start a sustainable fashion label myself more than 10 years ago now. It was difficult because I was living in Europe. Production was happening in India at the time, and I was absolutely clueless to be honest. But at least it allowed me to get my feet wet, allowed me to understand what production of sustainable clothing actually involves. How to bring a brand to market, what marketing is like for a brand, and basically all the issues that come with a business like that. And I think that gives me a little bit of an advantage now when running ethical clothing, just understanding what it's like from the brand's perspective and what it's like to be in their shoes.
Is the range going to be from fashion to practical? So you talked about you and Jack, you were outdoors, you were hiking, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, everyone is going to think Patagonia. I mean, Patagonia is so amazing because, you know, it's like, you know, their purpose is just to save the planet. And, you know, they're very bold. So is it the broad range of fashion and clothing? Because you're calling it ethical clothing. You're not calling it ethical fashion.
That's right. No, we try to get as much of a range going there as possible. From high fashion, we have, we actually do have some quite a few high fashion brands, and then some brands that are just complete basics, and that are actually fairly cheap, but still keeping sustainability in mind, and so. Definitely, we try to keep the whole range in there. And when we're even looking at things like sustainable bags, we've got a few sustainable shoe brands as well. So for now, this is kind of the range that we're focusing on, and not just one specific niche.
Well, that's great. So, you know, I really would like to go to a place and get educated and find all sorts of new types of clothing. So that's great. One of my desires, and I don't know if you've got it, is because I found one day years ago, I bought the most beautiful T-shirt. The cotton was great. It lasted for forever. And I can't find great cotton ethical T-shirts. So probably offline, you're going to have to steer me to this is the one you want to buy because it just feels so good.
Well, our site is definitely where you need to be. Maybe we need to add a filter on, like a feel-good filter. you know,
I would love that. It's just like, I keep looking, believe me. I keep looking. You know, you're a serial entrepreneur and you've started this company. And, you know, are there one or two lessons that you say, gee, I've already learned XYZ that I would like to share with anyone who's thinking about starting an ethical company doing X, so that they might get a quicker uptake of their idea and success?
I think my suggestion is probably more general than just somebody trying to start an ethical or a sustainable company. To have the project or the company that you're working on be in line with your values is probably what you need to be in it for the long run. You know, if after working 5-10 years on a project and you realize that your values are not really in sync with the project, it makes it very, very difficult for you to continue. So my suggestion is to make sure that the project or the company is aligned with your values, and that will make it easier for you to get up every day and you know, have the energy. There will be difficult times and there will be hard times, but I think if you're aligned with what you're doing, you will be able to get that strength to wake up every morning and go in for the next 10 years if that's what's required.
I'm just curious with you and Jack. So how do you, there's only two of you leading this. So how do you call the break a tie when you want to go one direction and Jack wants to go another direction? Because you talked about values as a filter.
Yep.
So I'm just curious, because that could be interesting, you know, like Ben and Jerry, you know, when they had to make a decision. So I'm curious, how do you break that tie?
I don't know. Luckily, we haven't come to sort of a stalemate or a point yet where we've been completely opposed with our ideas and our opinions. We respect each other and each other's opinions, and we can usually sit down, like you said, sit down, have a beer, discuss the points that we need to discuss, and come to a conclusion. I don't know. If we get to that bridge, we'll see how to cross it.
This has been a wonderful conversation, and I can't wait to help promote what you're doing, because I think it's a great idea. It's time is now, and so we're totally bought into it.
Thank you very much.
Oh, it's our pleasure. We always like to leave the last comment to our guest. So, you know, we've got thousands of people around the globe who listen to us of all different stages in their, you know, they're either developing purpose in a company, they're executing it, they're a graduate student that wants to really bring their values to work, either creating or in a company. So, you know, what's the last few words that you'd like to share that we haven't discussed or you want to emphasize?
Just sort of the recommendation to everybody that the next time that they buy a piece of clothing, to take a little bit of a deeper look and to see where the piece was made, how it's made, and to understand sort of the life cycle of that product, and then decide if this is really something that you want to support or not.
Okay, and then where do people find you? What's your URL?
So we're at ethical-clothing.com. The US site will be launched in 2 weeks. At the moment, it's just Europe. But yeah, you can find all our tools, all the information that we spoke about today, everything right there on that domain.
Well, super, Ben. So I got to let you go back to work, because I know that, you know, that you don't have lots and lots of hands, but you have a tremendous amount of energy and conviction. So Ben Hankel, a co-founder of Ethical Clothing, I think this is such a needed idea. I can't wait till the weekend where I'm going to have some more time to like go all around the site and see who you're representing. And we will share this out. And I trust that, you know, in 3 to 5 years, you will just be so successful, and there'll be a lot less fast fashion, and a lot of us who can look great, feel great, and know that our dollars are going to really help the planet as well as help us look great.
That's the dream. Thank you very much for having me, Carol.
Oh, it's our pleasure. Okay, thank you, and best wishes for incredible success.
Thank you.